Good morning. This morning we're going to study Psalm 23. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil. My cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. If you were to pick a metaphor that described your relationship with the Lord, what would that be? David is calling the Lord his shepherd. Now, that was also very prophetic because Jesus, when he came and ministered on this earth, he was called the Son of David. He was a descendant of David, but also he was the Messiah, and they were looking forward to and expecting the Messiah to come from the line of David. But Jesus, in John chapter 10 and other places, identified himself as the Good Shepherd. Jesus, in many ways for me, is that brother that Proverbs described. He's that brother that is never going to leave or forsake me. In Proverbs it says he's a friend. A friend closer than a brother. There is a friend that sticks closer than a brother. Jesus described himself to his disciples as their friend. See, a shepherd is so many things to the one that is being shepherded. A main relationship that is happening between a shepherd and the sheep is friendship. It's very personal. It's very close and very intimate. And David is declaring to the whole world that the one relationship he has that's his protection and his covering is the one he has with the Lord. He says, "The Lord is my shepherd." And he had personal experience of what being a shepherd is like because he was a shepherd boy. Up until he got chosen as king, he'd been a shepherd boy. Probably since the time he was just a young kid. And so it says, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want." It's a King James version. It's very poetic. I'm sure as a child, you probably were like me, like, what does it mean? He's my shepherd, but I don't want him. But as you know, it means I shall not lack. That the Lord will meet my needs. The Lord's the one who cares for me, the same as a shepherd cares for the sheep. You know, sheep, they can't really take care of themselves. If they go over a hill and can't see the flock, they're lost. And they have very bad eyesight. They can't find water. And if you put them in a green pasture and leave them to themselves, they'll just stay in that pasture until all the grass is gone. And then they'll just eat the roots of the grass so that there's nothing there other than dirt. And even if there's a pasture right next to that pasture, they won't go to it unless they're led to it. That's how sheep are. They just are very lost. If there's any creature on this planet that needs a shepherd, it's a sheep. And I think we can see the analogy between how a sheep can get lost and how people can get lost. And it goes on in verse 2 to say, he makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. You know, Philip Keller wrote a book about the 23rd Psalm. And someone in our church, when they found out I was preaching on this Sunday, handed me that book. And in that book, he lists four things that a sheep has to have happen in order for it to be willing to lie down. Because sheep will not just lie down. The shepherd has to go around pretty much to each one and get them to lie down. But here's the four things, and I want you to listen to them because it's true of people. These are things that people need for them to experience the peace of God. See, the peace is there. The green pastures are there. But are we going to enter into them? Are we going to lie down in them? Or are we going to be full of anxiety and fear? So the first thing that a sheep needs to be able to lie down is they need to be free from fear. They need to have the trust that only can happen with a shepherd, that they're being watched over, taken care of, that they're safe. And secondly, they need to be free from friction with other sheep. They need to be at peace in their relationships with the other sheep. Third, they need to be free from fleas and flies and parasites. And lastly, they need to have a full stomach. So these are the four things that a sheep needs to experience peace. Can you see the four things as they relate to each one of us? When we're not feeling peace and when we're not living in peace, it colors everything about our life. See, one of the biggest gifts that Jesus gives to us in our faith is peace. And yet, it's not something that we easily enter into. And I think it's partly because we just don't understand what we need to give up. Sometimes we need to let go and let God. We need to accept the fact that God is watching over us and will care for us. And we're free to just live one day at a time and live in the moment in that day. But that peace comes from discovering that the Lord is my shepherd. It's got to be a personal relationship. All throughout the Bible, what we see emphasized is a personal relationship with the Lord. And we see in the New Testament, Paul, when he meets Jesus on the road to Damascus, he's blinded. And he has this experience that stays with him the rest of his life. And he says something very interesting in Philippians chapter 3. He says, I want to know Christ, the power of his resurrection, and the fellowship of his sufferings. If we really understood the power of his resurrection that is available to us in a personal relationship with Christ, we would really be seeking to develop that relationship. It sounds crazy, I know, but we can have a personal, intimate relationship with the Lord the same as we can with a person, with people. Because the Lord is always with us. It's in him that we move and live and have our being. And the one person that will never leave or forsake us, no matter what happens, is the Lord. And we can have that knowledge with us. I meet people all the time, and they're pretty much alone a lot of the time. But they have their faith with them. I'm always intrigued when I read about Paul when he's in prison. Remember the story of Paul and Silas and how they were singing in prison. And suddenly there was an earthquake and the chains fell off. See, I look at that as a bit of a metaphor of what happens in life when we connect with the Lord through worship. There's just a personal relationship that can happen through worship and singing that changes everything. You know, Christians have been likened to be a thermostat and not a thermometer. That when we are spiritually connected with the Lord and let the Lord's love flow through us, there's nothing more powerful than that happening in the situation. And that relationship and that love that flows through us can literally change the temperature of the atmosphere that we're each in. That it becomes like a thermostat. It's like the heat gets turned up. The situation becomes warmer with the love of God because of each one of us allowing God's love to flow through us. That's the power of his resurrection when we see that happening. And it's not just what I'm describing. It's all kinds of things that happen when we allow the love of God to flow through us in our situations. And the fellowship of his sufferings is when we're willing to identify with the forgotten and the lost, with the people who are overlooked because of their handicap or because of their disease or because of whatever it is, they are just ignored and overlooked. And the Lord says, I notice you. And isn't that what the parable in Matthew 25 is all about? The sheep and the goats. He goes through all these various situations. I was in prison and you visited me. I was naked and you clothed me. I was hungry and you fed me. And it keeps going and it says, you're the sheep, enter into my kingdom. But then to others, he says, I was in prison and you didn't visit me. I was hungry and you didn't feed me. I was naked and you didn't clothe me. I was sick and you didn't visit me. He calls them goats and he says, depart from me. See, what brings salvation is a relationship with God. And you say, well, I have a hard time noticing those people. I realize a lot of times I just overlook people. Yeah, well, you know what? We're all in the same boat that way. But are you willing to notice people? Are you open to notice people? Are you willing to be led by the shepherd? Are you willing to say, Lord, help me become somebody who knows you and knows you by the person I'm choosing to be in this world? Verse 2 goes on to say, he makes me to lie down in green pastures, which we talked about. And then it says, he leadeth me beside the still waters. Still waters are also a scene of peace, a picture of peace. But they're helpful to a sheep because a sheep is not very much at peace when it's near rushing water. There's a natural fear with rushing water because if they have thick wool, they're going to sink if they fall into the water. And so the rushing water is a scary place. The still waters are a place where it feels safe to drink. And then it says, he restores my soul. It's really what it's all about. It's about our soul being restored. You know, at places in the Psalms, David says, why art thou cast down, O my soul? See, your soul is a part of you that is constantly chattering. And it gets worn out. And those thoughts in your life are sometimes just in terrible need of the peace of God to calm them down. And sometimes when we get surrounded with our personal concerns and fears, it's hard to hear the voice of the Lord and hear the assurance of the Lord. But the Lord wants to restore our soul. He wants to restore us to a place of strength and peace. And it says, he leads us in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. It says here, literally, he leads me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Sheep are not good at picking the right path. But when we trust the Lord with our path, we know he walks with us. And even if we think, did I make a mistake? Is this the right path? We know the Lord's on that path with us. And help us make a correction if we have to. The Lord is the one who's our leader. He's with us. He says, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. That valley of the shadow of death can be a very real place in Israel. It can be a very narrow, craggy place with rocks and steep canyons and dangerous animals lurking. The shepherd, he has a rod to protect the sheep from those dangerous predators. And he has a staff with a crook on the end that can reach down and grab a sheep if a sheep falls off the path and pull him back on to the right path. So thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. The Lord is prepared as we do our walk to protect us, to guide us, and to help us if we slip. Then it says, thou preparest a table before me in the presence of my enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil, my cup runneth over. I love this verse. It reminds me of communion. And you think, well, what's the enemies that the Lord is preparing the table for when it comes to us? Well, oftentimes the enemies are attitudes that are developing within us. I love that prayer. Search me, God, and know me, and see if there be anything in me that's not aligned with you. See if there's any wicked within me, is how the scripture words it. So when we take communion, do we say that prayer? As we're getting ready to take communion, do we say, Lord, search me and know me and show me if there's anything in me that I need to make right with you? Every time I pray that prayer, I see things. It's not always a fun experience, but it's a healing experience. And the Lord prepares for me something through what Jesus did for us on the cross. It's his grace. that becomes sufficient in my weakness. I was listening to the radio last week, and they switched over to Christmas music already. Used to be they'd wait till Thanksgiving, but now they do it before Thanksgiving. And I decided to just go with it and listen. And so I heard some Christmas songs that I actually enjoyed, and I'm choosing to enjoy them early. I'm going to listen to them all throughout the season because there's some great songs. But there was one song that came on that really made me listen. I don't typically listen to this song that much, but it was the song about Mr. Grinch. You know the story. They play it on TV every year. The Grinch who stole Christmas. And the Grinch is just this bad, mean guy. So I was listening to the words, and I wrote them down. The song says, "You're a mean one, Mr. Grinch. You really are a heel. You are as cuddly as a cactus. You're as charming as an eel. You're a banana, crisp and greasy black, peeling." Something like that. And I thought, man, that how would you like to be described like that? But sometimes when I tell the Lord, I want him to search me and know me and see if there's anything in me that I need to get right, I might as well be Mr. Grinch. See, we take with us to the communion table our whole person. It's a place where we ask the Lord to search us and know us and see what's in us. And that's what I love about our church. Every Sunday we do communion. Every Sunday we do communion. And we ask for the Lord to search us. Or at least we have that opportunity. In the last verse, "Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I shall dwell in the house of the Lord." The Lord's goodness and mercy follows us. It's with us. It covers us. And his covering creates a spiritual home that we're spiritually living in. I hope you enjoy this psalm like I do. This time during the Christmas season, I plan on reading Psalm 23 a lot in my devotions and meditating on how the Lord is with me and with you. God bless you.